Blog Talk Radio.
Well, the Black Panther Party originated in Oakland, California, co-founded by Minister Huey P. Newton and Chairman Bobby Seale. And they started the Black Panther Party and organized around a 10-point program and platform called What We Want, What We Believe. Mm-hmm. And it basically gave a list of things that Black people, like everybody else, had a right to. Mm-hmm. Land, bread, housing, education, clothing, justice, and peace.
Right.
And the Black Panther Party began to organize survival programs around these 10 points, not as a charity, but as a way to organize the people and get them involved in their own struggle for liberation and freedom. Prior to public schools having free breakfast programs, everybody knew that there were children going to school hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew that you can't learn on an empty stomach.
Right.
So the Black Panther Party did not commission a study or go get a grant to see who was hungry and who wasn't. They said, we're going to feed these children.
Mm-hmm.
And they began to set up breakfast programs all over the country, wherever there was space, community centers, church basements, anywhere there was space. And it began to require that the businesses in the community donate to the breakfast program,
mm-hmm.
Whatever was needed. Now, this was not just to feed the children. It was also a feed the children.
Yeah.
So we educated the children. We talked about things, and not in an abstract way.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about things that were going on in their community. Like the children come in and say, man, the police, they jacked up my cousin and this and that. And we explained to the children that the officer friendly that they see on TV and other communities getting a cat out the tree is not the pig that exists in Black communities,
mm-hmm.
that do major sweeps and take their uncles and their dads and their brothers to jail. And oftentimes they end up so-called hanging themselves in prison, mm-hmm. in the jailhouse waiting for arraignment. And also the whole attack, then it was called police brutality that we know today as police terrorism, where our communities are under siege wherever we are. And you see just huge numbers of police brutally murdering members of Black community. Now, this is not a new phenomenon. It's been going on all the time, but we have media that is not just tied to the state. You have all kinds of social media. You have cell phones, many things that you didn't have then,
right,
that people can communicate. Back in the day, we had the Black Panther newspaper that began to connect these different events, if you will, and different struggles. It was the most largely distributed paper during that period, and it would show that the same thing that was happening in Oakland, California, where the police were shooting people down in the street, it was happening in Chicago when the police would bust into an apartment and shoot and kill a pregnant woman, or in anywhere in the country. And the people began to say, well, this is not isolated. This happened to me here.
Right.
This happened to them there. And we had similar.
Right on. Well, first and foremost, let me say revolutionary appreciations of the opportunity to be here. I presently chair an organization, the Black Panther Party Cubs, known in many arenas, better yet, the POCC/BBPC. That's the Prisoners of Conscience Committee, Black Panther Party Cubs. And we more use the term Black Panther Party Cubs because sometimes people hear the terms, but the Prisoners of Conscience Committee, they attempt to, you know, limit our work to just that, you know, dealing with what's happening inside the prisons, or better yet, the concentration camps.
Right.
That's a part of our work, because we take the position that is what late great Malcolm X had said when he referenced America. He said America itself represents a prison, and also Minister Huey P. Newton had said that prison is a microcosm of outside community. But I definitely want to extend a clenched fist salute to my mother comrade, as you refer to as Mama Panther.
Mama Panther.
It's important, and I'm not saying this subjectively just because that's my mama, but we seized the time, you know, with opportunity, with, you know, with forces that were literally, figuratively, and politically there,
mm-hmm.
To sum up, you know, what the Black Panther Party was about. You know what I'm saying? It's importance of his legacy, because in fact, she presently chairs a organization, December 4th committee.
Right.
And one of the major issues that committee has to address is, you know, maintaining their legacy. A lot of people take it for granted. Well, everybody knows the Black Panther Party is about. On the contrary, their legacy was and remains to be under attack.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, definitely from the usual suspects, you know, the government, but the media. Now, I'm not just talking about the mainstream media. A lot of quote-unquote progressive press,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, you know, are opportunists, and
yeah.
So many hijackers of history and revisionists.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
it's
and whatever their, you know, intent, whether it be nefarious or naivety. You know, in other words, there's an attempt. Bad intention, and they're, as well as those, a lot of people just don't, you know, making mistakes. In fact, Chairman Fred Hampton, one of his quotes was, half of these cats crazy, rest of them agents. By the time I figure out which one it is, I'll be in the penitentiary or the graveyard.
That's right.
But study the people from what, okay, when I, again, Minister U.E.P. Newton said power was the ability to define phenomena and make it act in desired manner. I put my ear to the ground. When I was in New Orleans, we seen that second line was phenomenal. We tweaked that, you know what I'm saying? Made it work, you know what I'm saying? Define. You go to the people. Not, we don't, when I was in New Orleans, we don't come as some great saviors. We come and we study the people. We say, now let's politicize it. Let's take whatever y'all are doing and redirect it. Them casting street organizations in the streets. I said, I ain't coming to y'all to stop fighting. Give me that energy. Redirect that energy. You know what I'm saying? So wherever the people that I studied, they tell me, Chairman, we respect you because you know you coming to us. You the different artists. You know what songs we did, or different street cats. You know, like, I don't care if one of them say they leader. I know what the leadership is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give, you know what I'm saying? Richard Pryor says he's a peopleologist.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Peopleologist.
Mm-hmm.
I study people. I'm a servant of the people. And people, when you go to them, you can pick up on, okay, now, no deal with absolutes. What points of unity can I get you to
mm-hmm.
do? Because you like going to the gym. You come in, everybody going to lift 400 pounds. Oh, now I'm gone. But what point, I want you on two laps. I want you to do this. Different points of unity
mm-hmm.
we can have. Well, I'm just a rap. Okay, we need points of unity. We need you to drop this here, say this and that. You follow what I'm saying? So that's what it's real is. That's what we got to do. Different points of unity.
Mm-hmm.
What points of unity you have with the struggle? You know what I'm saying? And don't think everybody going to get quote-unquote conscious at the same time.
Right.
Certain situations
right.
happen to people. You know what I'm saying? Most people are driven because something happened to them. That's a bad thing to say, but that's
yeah,
reality.
Yeah. That's
mm-hmm.
so true.
You
have
very few.
So
something happened to them. I'm going to quote this lady whose grandson got killed by Chicago Police. She said she worked for Chicago Police Switchboard for 12 years.
Hmm.
She said, I heard that man name all the time, Fred Hampton Jr., all the time. He out here protesting this. He out there. I heard it, but didn't hear it.
Hmm.
She said, well, my grandson got killed by the police.
I found it.
I said, I'm going to quote you on that.
Hmm.
When it happens to them.
Fact.
We talked about TAMs before I got placed in TAMs.
That's right.
See, we, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
We talked about Cook County Jail being before I get to the Cook
that's
County
right.
Jail. We don't wait to happen to us.
Yeah.
But that's the reality to a lot of people. So you got, they know one thing. They say, them cats consistent.
Yes.
They out here consistent. They say, 24/7.
Yes.
They consistent.
Yes.
So you got an entity that's consistent. Say, man, back that play.
Yeah.
Back that play. But you study the people. You know what I'm saying? I get letters from guys who locked up now, sisters who locked up now. I hear what you're saying about the concentration camp. He turned more than me black. Michael Jackson said it'll make a difference if you're black or white. When he caught that case, the song changed. They don't care about us. Kobe Bryant started quoting Dr. King when he caught that case. Get with us before the heat hit you. Heat gonna hit you.
No, absolutely.
Get with it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But study the people.
Yeah.
See different phenomena. What's phenomenal in New York? What's phenomenal in this in New Orleans, Ninth Ward? What's phenomenal on this block of Chicago? What the people, you know what I'm saying? Study the phenomena. And say, Lenny, how can I define it? Chairman Reverend Nat Turner, he put his ear to the ground. He said the church is a phenomenon.
Yes.
He said, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition.
Yes.
Harriet Tubman, she said, the Negro spirituals are a phenomenon.
Yes.
She used that too.
Yes.
When I went down to Ferguson, Mike Brown town, I studied the dynamics. I messed with the people. I didn't go to the usual suspects. I didn't go to the ones who the state said were the community
thank
activists.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the gutter, to the valley, to the masses.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I don't let the same system that's oppressing me say, okay, here go your spokesperson. Here go your.
Huh.
No, I go to the valley. It's a certain people. Don't go for the approved, watered down.
Come on,
saying, watch the here's your spokesperson.
Yeah.
So you really talking about studying people? You go to the movements come from the bottom up.
That's right.
And trouble comes trickling down from the top.
Mm-hmm.
Oppression from the top. Every policy, how they feel about us, it's a policy that came down from the top.
Yes.
Even white people talking about in South Carolina, they say, yeah, it's a clamming.
Yes.
This boy felt comfortable to go up in there and get down up in that church.
Yes.
It's a crime where even our people, the victims, feel it's important to go to court for him, tell him how they forgive him. He ain't said he's sorry. But again, because we don't know what type of, what generation going to be told, okay, you can be a football player like O.J. Simpson. You can be a rapper like Nelly. You can be a basketball player like Michael Jordan. You can be an activist, but you have to be, you know, do the Dr. King thing, so on and so forth. This is not self-determination.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Well, even if you want to be in the street life, you want to be a hustler. Okay, you have to be like this. You have to, you know, be the Nicky Barnes. You know what I'm saying? And even an informant like Nicky Barnes, as if that would catch, you know what I'm saying? Like real catch, like go get us on the street, Bumpy Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And even his legacy, it was an attempt. Even that movie, that American Gangster. This dude Frank Lucas was a rat. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was made up to be to count the legacy of Bumpy Johnson. You know what I'm saying? But Bumpy Johnson's prison foul, they describe him as a race conscious cocky Negro. That's how prison foul
yeah.
describe him.
Yeah.
And we must, you know, and this is. It's important in every context of every, you know, in every genre of entertainment, streets, in particular, freedom fighters.
Mm-hmm.
It's important that we, you know what I'm saying, to make that legacy, keep it in context, keep it intact.
Yeah.
There's distinguish Memorex tapes from live, real deal situations.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? There's a number of different bogus organizations that, you know what I'm saying, the state has created, you know what I'm saying, literally. You know, yes, literally. You know, this is, I mean, even after the assassination of Chairman Frederick Fitzgerald and Mar Clark, the government would go to different individuals and say, okay, well, we're going to fund you.
Yes.
The creator,
wow.
Yes, you know what I'm saying? Because
yes.
they do not want this legacy to be put, you know, to be acknowledged. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'll be different places on different media stations. We didn't see actual media statements where it's directed. Don't, you know what I'm saying? Do not cover nothing we say.
That's right.
One guy told us about Sony Records got a whole layout on us. You know what I'm saying? When Chairman Fred come on the stage, back up, y'all, you know what I'm saying? Because they seen, we going to eat these stages in the Dave Chappelle Block Party. We go to say we ain't going to my own shout out my homie. We going to talk the cases of Mumi Abu Jamal,
that's
Move
right.
9.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They know they ain't got no problem with this Chief Keefe, you know what I'm saying, engaged to some sort of reactionary rap. When they seen us flip the script and go type it in, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., I don't like. That's when the police start sweating them cats, they ain't want to use them type of, you know what I'm saying? We politicized, we flipped the script.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Similar to like that in the 60s where Chairman Fred put his ear to the ground and dealt in Chicago, one was and remains to be the top segregated city in the country, if not the world.
True.
When Chairman Fred organized the Rainbow Coalition, I know a lot of us been misinformed, but when Chairman Fred organized the Rainbow Coalition, he approached the community as a realist. The young patriots, group of poor whites who were so reactionary, one time they were wearing Confederate flags on their jackets.
Yeah.
He won them to some point of unity.
Mm.
The young lords Cha-Cha Jimenez, the Puerto Rican Chairman Fred won him at some point of political unity. And even the unpoliticized street tribes.
Yes.
That's a term we use as opposed to referring to them as the gangs. Because our position is, it was and is, that the worst gang in Chicago was Chicago Police Department.
Right.
So when Chairman Fred stopped politicizing these cats, you see the devil disciples. Get us so we now change our name to become known as the Black Disciple due to the political education we received from Chairman Fred and the Black Panther Party. You know, so you seen even, he was able to flip the script after the FBI went to the vice lords and told the vice lords they would get him 16th Street. Under the condition the Black Panther Party did not be able to open a free medical center on 16th Street.
Wow.
And even by the federal government's own records, we got to quote them because not until we don't believe nothing is a fact unless we say white folks said it or the government said it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was the government said it was a record low to what they call black on black crime.
Yeah.
Now the logical thing would be, well, if they doing all this, why the government want to award them for the great work they're doing? I'm going to close with this. Anybody that believes that the government, the police, want to stop crime in our community, you believe Don King want to stop boxing. Real talk. Because the Black Panther Party, because I can't, and it's organizations out here that get, that officially get state paid. We receive no FBI money, no faith-based initiative money.
Come
we receive
now.
None. None.
Come on now.
We movements make things happen. The dog wag the tail and wag the dog. But I'm saying again, the reality is this movement is not some sort of abstract, just, you know, feel good. It's concrete, tangible resources that are I know a lot of them trying to water this down, make it all beautiful out here. They locking us up out here, man.
Absolutely.
We try to get some, and it's done by design. It's, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no justification for land grab, man. They wiping us out out here, man. Real talk.
That's why we here, brother.
That's why we here. Inglewood, just the wrong to the hood. Inglewood, North Lawndale, man.
I'm trying to do what I can.
Yeah.
From New York?
Yes.
Okay, you feel no, you feel no, you feel no.
And that's why
okay.
I'm here.
I'm saying, listen, man. Like my brother right here just said, propaganda. I'm with you on that. You understand? I'm just trying to add the nefarious intent this dude is on. Propaganda is very important, man. And like I said earlier, it's a war on our people. A lot of people try to say, "Oh, Chairman Fred, man, he always talking about blaming the government, the white folks." And I do, cause this is it, man. The situation is in our community, man. This ain't just gonna happen, stands, man. But they put these people out, man. What they to make you believe that. Black folks in their own, or the conditions our community have because we lazy, or we don't sit together, or God don't like us. Man, it's a war waging our people, man. You know what I'm saying? Man, everything, like Rwanda, people just want you to believe that black, that the Hutus and Tutsis jumped up and started fighting amongst each other. No, man, you get the role, the Belgians, the whole role they play setting the whole thing up, man. Now, the issue came up, you know what I'm saying, with this catching bass. It's to my man. We're going to do a piece on different street tribes. No, I say the street tribes. We call them unpoliticized street tribes.
Right.
These the role of these cats, man, Sebastian used to be Don Diva, man. They think...
Used to be, by the way. Used to be.
Matter of fact, if you want me...
Formerly.
Accentuate that. Used to be.
Wasn't even from Chicago. Didn't have no family here, nothing.
The role these cats play.
Just a fake-ass nigga trying to... I ain't say that. That was old love saying that. That wasn't no Mario. That was old love.
The role cats play, I'm saying it's very objective. The role is to give the people the impression that, you know what I'm saying, this stuff just happened to osmosis, that, you know what I'm saying, that this shit just happened in our community. You follow what I'm saying? Man, this is it, man. A non-independent people do not make independent decisions. In other words, like a lot of people want to believe that your uncle hooked up and brought some dope over here, you know what I'm saying, that's that dope guy in the community. Let me give you some real quick history. Man, after the military defeat of the Black Power movement, you know what I'm saying, the Black Panther Party in particular in the 60s, people like the deputy director of the FBI, William Sullivan, was sent to Vietnam, Southeast Asia, to stop their so-called drug problem, which is kind of ironic, being that it was the French that bombarded the Vietnamese with dope houses and prostitution dens. When William Sullivan came back from Vietnam, Southeast Asia, the black community was bombarded with dope. You know what I'm saying? Let's trace it. Where's the poppy leaf grows in Vietnam, Southeast Asia, the raw form of heroin in Karachi.
Exactly.
When you come back, they flooded our community. We thought the cocaine was upper-class white man's drug back then. Fast forward, 1978, when the Sandinistas getting down to Latin America, this same chump, William Sullivan, is sent over there to stop their so-called drug problem. When he returns, our community is flooded with cocaine. Latin America with the coca leaf growing, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So they strategically flood our community with this type of stuff.
Brother, I overstand you right now.
This thing in Chicago in particular, Chicago is phenomenal for the street organization, period. Not just street organization, period. I mean, you can ask the cat for address up here, they'll tell you the different street organization name as opposed to saying, you know, with the street sign say. And it's like, I've been a lot of places, you know what I'm saying, but it's phenomenal up here, the whole... whatever hustle going on out there, it's organization. You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
It's been corroded, but still, in comparison to a lot of places, it's still like the structure. It's phenomenal. So a lot of people want to put out this image that these guys, these street owners, just jumped up and I don't like you because you got on this color. I don't like you because you got on that color. But then, listen, man, it was an ongoing counterinsurgency, man. This stuff was set up, man. Let's go back. For example, in the 1950s, man, I'm telling you, this goes to some of this Daily Machine. This one, the present mayor of Chicago right now, Gangsta Daly. Gangsta Daly. His daddy was Gangsta Daly Sr. So, man, this one was the clerk in Cook County, man. They had a plan to take the property from black people in Hyde Park. They said they're going to put out this law. Well, you can't, man, you got to have insurance on your homes. Simultaneously, they wouldn't sell black folks no insurance. So they get all the property in Hyde Park.
Right.
So then they tried to do it in the 60s. The people said, no, we're not going for this. We know y'all pulled this stuff before. This is the whole thing. The same University of Chicago, man, with a whole cabinet up out of Chile. Pinochet and them come up. His whole cabinet come up out of. Same University of Chicago with the former chunk, the puppet they put over in our rock came up out of.
Right.
Same University of Chicago. Man, with Rahm Emanuel, all these. Obama team.
Same place.
Obama team.
Same place. Same school, bro.
They create the nucleus for the atom bomb. They had a thing called the Woodlawn Experiment. The University of Chicago, Sears and Roebuck, First National Bank, the Rockefeller Foundation. And the first Daily, Gangsta Daly Sr. was against it. Get on board and on. Well, they funneled over $100 million. $100 million. down, you know what I'm saying, to the Blackstone Rangers. Now, listen, not to the Blackstone Rangers, the fiscal agents, because Ty and Jefferson was teenagers. The fiscal agents who got the money, who the money went through, people like Reverend Arthur Brazier, Reverend Leon Finney.
All as well, bro.
The money come through these people. You know what I'm saying? Later on, they locked up these young brothers, Jeffing them on these bogus cases. Finney and Brazier never got locked up. Go back, they got big mega churches now over there right now. Then you know what I'm saying? They set up a situation, man, where the Chicago police were dressing like the devil disciples with the little black hats and white tie around them, and then drive by from a piece of love building, other places with stones there. It created a quote unquote crime epidemic where the property value went down. All this was set up by the system, by the state. You know what I'm saying? And a criminal psychologist said, when you go to a crime scene, that's what happened over there in Woodlawn. It's a crime scene. The first thing you got to look for is who benefited. And no, Jeff didn't benefit. No, the people didn't benefit. Man, sins of the University of Chicago benefited. Them criminals still there. You know, still taking property. And these are the type of tactics they laid down in our community. So, man, a lot of people don't hear about this here. A lot of people don't touch on safe subjects, overworked type subjects, picking the prick of the weed. Man, we digging the root up, showing the whole thing, you know what I'm saying? We just, man, expose the contradictions, who's the cause and effect, I'm saying, though. No. People say, oh, man, you want to blame the government. You, man, that's who set this thing up.
I'm going to stop real quick, get to part three, because I don't even get 10 minutes at a time.
We have let another people's spirits take possession of our bodies and take possession of our minds. When we speak, it is not with our African voice. It is with the voice of that demonic presence that uses our lips to speak its own language. Yes. Yes, and we have to recognize this. We are possessed.
All right.
And if we are to transform ourselves and to transform that the nature of our relationship with those who are our masters,
right,
we must engage in an exorcism and clear the devils out of our minds. And at this time, then, it'll pay you to read a little bit about demonic possession. And you have to be demonically, we have to be demonically possessed. Because if we talk about black-on-black violence, self-defeating behavior, self-destructive behavior, then we could not be possessed by a beautiful and wonderful God. We must be possessed by a demon. It's interesting to look at the literature on possession. We have a couple of types of possession. One is called a somnambulistic possession. Somnambulistic. Soma, in this sense, is having to do with sleep. You hear it in the word somnex, you know. Ambulistic, to move around. Ambulatory, right? So we are talking about people who are what? Sleepwalking. They're not awake, but they're walking around. The body is moving, and it is walking in an organized fashion and walking systematically, but the person is still asleep. And in somnambulistic possession, then, the individual's original self has been repressed and displaced, and the spirit, and he identifies with the spirit that possesses him. And his eye and the spirit's eye are one and the same. And we have a lot of that here today. Where the spirit that has been implanted in us, we have taken to be us. And we've identified with it. That is why in defending ourselves, we end up defending the people who rule over us. In defending our ego, we end up maintaining the social structure that has destroyed our ego to begin with. And you see it in our youngsters, who will fight and kill in the name of respect, and fight because their egotistic orientation has been insulted. And therefore, in defending their ego, they do not kill the people who destroyed their ego. They kill each other. And maintain the ones who destroyed them in the first place in power.
Because closing this clinic is going to leave a lot of people who are most vulnerable to the mental health community out here in the streets, where a lot of crime and violence is arising, especially noting that the summer is on the way. One of the things we wanted to do was have a presence out here to say that the people out here are not giving up.
I can guarantee you that it will be a surge in the number of people with mental illnesses that are arrested. So the new mental health clinic will become 26 in California.
This is a question about why, when the city of Chicago has $20 million left over in surplus from its snow removal, when the city of Chicago has $65 million left over from G8, when the city of Chicago could raise taxes on a few of the wealthiest by starting a yacht tax, as was proposed by Alderman Cochran, why we cannot find $3.3 million to keep these clinics open for one whole year, and why we cannot find the $6 million that would keep them open and better and improve for the services that we need in our communities. This is a question not about the city of Chicago being broke. This is a question about who the city of Chicago thinks is valuable.
When the projects went and they got demolished, the gang structure left. They took away the leaders. They used that money to go up to the top to redevelop the city and property, but they did not redevelop the children. We need these services to help the kids. That's why we need them. for the future. They parents need these services to raise the kids.
You should not be out here begging for the health care clinics to be open for mental health, particularly at a time in this nation where people in a really bad way.
I have received life-saving treatment at our Chicago public mental health centers. Yesterday, we experienced what Ram has in store for us. Instead, he wants us to go from the clinic to the jail. And that's exactly what he did. We saw a fast-forward version of that yesterday. And the tragedy is the police are not prepared to take care of the mentally ill. We need our clinics. We do not need to be handcuffed and put into jails in conditions that intensify conditions like anxiety, psychosis, and the other things that we have to deal with.
No, we won't sit. We will not sit silently.
I'm only going to speak for a moment, but I thought it was important to speak up for some people who couldn't be here tonight. This past year, I lost a friend. He suffered from severe depression, and he ultimately took his own life. Medication and proper counseling could have saved him. He was one of the most talented and generous and good-hearted people I've known. He should be there for our fellow human beings.
Yes.
That's what we should be about as a city, as a people.
Yes.
We need to help each other, and we need to fight for that principle. We need to stand for that. If we don't stand now, they're going to take all of that away from us. We're going to be run on corporate principles. We're going to be run for money and not for the people. We are the people. If we take back our power, if we demand change, we can have it.
Yes, we can.
And we don't have to lose people like my friend. We don't have to lose them. The need for care is increasing, not decreasing, and yet we are pushing out people that are already getting care. There is no excuse for that. It is unforgivable, and it has to be corrected. It can still be made right.
But they have no complaint, they have no victim, they have no witness. We have permission to be here from the owners. Obviously, they're confused about what they're trying to do. But they had told us we have to leave. We're not going to leave.
Massive.
all that. Yeah.
So,
it's going to be a little slow.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a little slow opening up the mic, and it's going to be hard to, you know, play different clips right away because it's like the screen slides. So I can't, trying to get the clips, it kind of slides up and down with the whole screen slides with the music. So I have to keep trying to do it real, real, real slow. But you know, we'll work through it. That's what I've been doing.
Yeah,
I've been trying to, you know, how to do it.
That's what mine be doing. That's what I had. I know if you saw me on, and I pushed one. I was because that's how mine be doing. You know, also see if you get a better view. Did you turn it sideways? Because I think
okay.
I did that better. But I guess see, yeah, maybe let's say y'all work together with it. And like you and Gio, if one of them need to be on the call in as host, and somebody, you know, and then you watch your phone, and then somebody be able to watch the boards. I guess we have to do that type of work. Well, both of y'all mics open. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Well, both of y'all, you know, accessible, and then that way it's like the backup and backup. You know what I'm saying? So. If just already knowing what chairman won't play, we know we open with Never. Ask him if I ain't, he ain't said nothing about no particular clips or anything, so everything should be good. I didn't look at the flyer to see what the show's about tomorrow. I got to check that out. But he ain't said nothing, so like beginning with Never, you know what I'm saying? And you know, no particular clips in a rage or whatever, you know, if it takes him a minute to come on, and then end with, you know, or if it's something according to topic. So that makes it easier too because it ain't got to worry about. I'll check with him in the morning to see if it's any particular one because I can do it, you know what I'm saying, on my laptop. But you know what? I forgot that it's a new spot that we're going to be able to move out of for a second, right? And he said they were going to do it from there. I can get Chairman to pick the laptop back up for me in the morning. And since he was going to go out there for Gio to do it on his phone connected to Wi-Fi, he can just take the goddamn laptop with him. Y'all tag team. Okay.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. I'll try to be able to. I hate keeping calling him every morning, waking him up. I didn't literally have to just call him every morning for like 3 mornings to wake him up for something, you know? So, like, don't want to keep having
to Chairman doesn't sleep. Chairman doesn't sleep.
I'll call him like at 8 and he'll just be closing his eyes and I'll be like, fuck. And I know this, you know? Yeah, and that's what he'd be like, don't worry, he'd be on point. I told him, God damn it, push the end call, reject the call one time, man. You know, reject no calls. Reject the damn call for one thing, get you some sleep. But yeah, but I don't leave out till like afternoon, so I'll let him know, I'm going to be done hollering at him by then. I'll give him about 11 o'clock, and you know, just how, yeah. Damn, see, thank you for making me think. Well, we got that, so the show created for tomorrow, so we ain't got to worry about that. Because I think Gio forgot how to do that. So, okay, so we good. Thank you for taking care of that. Because I know, like I said, I've just been, and I barely got some sleep. I'm sleeping at 6 motherfuckers in the limo. I'm trying to get used to this work schedule. They ain't got the nerve to take on the second job that I started at the end of the month. That one's going to work me all through the night till 6 in the morning. So I'm going to be waiting from 1:30 in the afternoon to 6 in the morning.
Wow. Yeah.
Just make sure that they have fun at my damn funeral because it's going to kill me. Y'all just make sure y'all have fun and don't let no motherfucking petty rules. Y'all need neocolonial ass motherfuckers come to my funeral.
Stephanie, you ain't never going to die. You'll be alive forever.
Well, you remember that part, though, okay? Just in case, do remember that. If you're sitting in motherfuckers, you know I don't fuck with them. Y'all do not. Those motherfuckers remain in my service. I don't care what fuck my family say. Okay? That's all that. You know what I'm saying? I got to depend on y'all for that because, you know, you talking about a motherfucker literally turning over in their grave. I bet you I would be. Like,
yeah,
I know motherfuckers have policy and let this motherfucker come. I ask them not to let this.
Some
shit wake your ass up. Look. Look, bro, wake your ass up in the middle of the night, my spirit. Like, hey, I thought I asked you not to let them on. Before I had
hey,
that.
So,
before I head to that revolutionary happy hunting ground.
I will never let it happen.
Because you know you're family. No, turn that motherfucker out.
Man, I sprained my ankle.
Oh, you said
my dog's just for spite.
Oh, hold on, you didn't tell me.
My ankle. Like real bad.
I was talking to my daughter. Got it now.
Hey,
how much cheese you need? Oh, with this shit, goddamn. I think this may be too much. I'm sorry, bro. One second. Room to deal for my daughter, what's up here? Thank you. My London was here. She'll be able to help her eat out. Okay. All right, here you go. Well, you didn't tell me. I didn't know you were taking witches. Okay. Well, you're welcome and everything is in the bag. Where my replay? I'm sorry, bro. I'm back.
No problem. Hey, Daphne. When you got a minute, I know you're tired, but I need a class on how to deal with counter protests and things like that. You know what I mean?
How to deal with counter protesting?
Well, yeah, I don't know the etiquette. You know what I mean? I know there's no blueprint to it, but it's like. You know, I'm here in Tennessee, and they're having a white lies matter thing right down the block, like 10 miles down from
me. Oh, okay.
And so,
I
need to know how to, just how to.
I can dig it. Look. All right. When is it?
It's the 28th of October.
What? And
then it's supposed to happen in Murfreesboro, the city. Well, I'm in between Murfreesboro and this city, so it's like they're supposed to have one in Murfreesboro on the, well, they didn't say a date, but I guess they got it approved last Saturday. But it's like, so I need to know how to deal with it a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and one thing you do know is that you do know they will be expecting you there, right?
Oh yeah, I know that.
When
things quieted down around here, it was like I was expecting something to happen. You know, I was like, it calmed down kind of too quiet. You know what I mean? I was like, I saw the little clip of the dude who just shot somebody walking in the crowd. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, I doubt it. He did. But I just need to know,
But observe to stay out, to not, number one, get categorized in the wrong manner, so on and so forth.
But you don't have to tell me over here, we can talk off air, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, damn, I forgot about we was a show, man, but him take me on the phone. How about can I call you in the morning? What's a good time to call you?
Whenever. You rested, whenever you had a few minutes. I probably need like.
Is y'all hour ahead or we on the same time zone?
Same time.
Okay. So I give you a call about 9:30, 10 o'clock, okay?
Yeah, I'll definitely be up. It's like I am taking medicine, though. You know, I'm taking these painkillers. And so it's like, I sprained my ankle. My dogs got into a fight, and I was trying to trade them, mess around and mess my ankle up real bad. You know, I used to play basketball, so, I'm used to ankles and stuff, but this, like, real bad.
Oh,
but,
stop. You're making my
shit hurt. Oh, I'm sorry. It feels better.
You know when you ever feel the pain when somebody describing some shit to you?
Yeah, you empathy. Yeah. I'm sorry. Careful.
Okay. I'll try to get you. If not, as long as I get you before, because I start working 1:30, so I'm like 3 hours late up to about 1:15, okay? Even if I got to talk while I'm on the commute, okay? But I'll just try you. If I don't get you to any resting, and then I'll just try you back if you still resting. That's cool.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. But all right. Okay, I sound pretty comfortable.
I'm going to finish my taco. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Look, I'm going to finish my taco. Finish my joy.
All right. Free of all.
Free of all. I'll talk to you in the morning. All right. Peace, bro. Love.
Love.
Smiling faces, an agent of provocateurs. Prison tours, lack of a community space, in other words, a motherfucking base. Distinguishing from simple mistakes to that which is being orchestrated by the state. We are all. We are all. Saints and slander to questionable motherfuckers just popping up randomly to false flag and ass panthers. Sometimes, oftentimes, at times. Cointail pro and Negroes. Prices being placed in our heads by motherfuckers with a whole bunch of money, and nothing more would make theirs and those that they work for a day. Stupid shit to opportunists and visionists. Being financially fucked up to being tired of this battle, but still covering and expressing love and showing love and rocking with our black apple hats and cups.
We get hands, we get paws.
Sometimes, oftentimes, and at times. You know, sometimes when I ride, deep down inside, in my heart as well as in my mind, while keeping confidence within the cubs and the community of life, and maintaining that historical panther pride, I say, shit, the Sons of Anarchy ain't even had to deal with the shit that the cubs had to cope with. Sometimes, oftentimes, and at times, cub love, sometimes,
community love. We love the people because we love the people.
Chairman of the POCC, otherwise known as POC, or the Prisons of Conscience Committee, which is a revolutionary organization that was literally birthed from behind enemy lines. In other words, come up out of the concentration camps. Many people refer to as the prisons. We have chapters throughout the world. We look at such organizations as the Black Panther Party as a prototype or an example of
following his footsteps. Being that we use the philosophical tool of dialectical materialism, we recognize that nothing stays exactly the same and that things are constantly evolving. The Black Panther Party suffered a military defeat. However, ideologically, they won. In other words, we know that federal government implemented an onslaught, an attack on its organization, ranged from every tactic but not limited to such situations as which we define as massacre on Monroe, went down December 4th, 1969, when U.S. government cold blood assassinated Chairman Frederick Fiscal Lamar Clark, assassinated such forces as Lil Bobby Hutton. In fact, this, right as we speak, this is April 6th, marks the date of this, which they assassinated 17-year-old Lil Bobby Hutton. Framing, kidnapping so many forces and forcing other comrades into exile. So, the Black Panther Party represented one of the most courageous, one of the most revolutionary organizations in North America, and some of the baddest brothers and sisters to come up against this, come up against the state, and an organization that literally turned the communities into classrooms and provided a vehicle, a venue in which people can fight on their own terms. An organization that addressed not only the race question as well as the class question. So we see that as an example in that spirit. This is the PLCC test against that. We do say it's a tough act to follow. We try our best to carry on that legacy. We study and assess. It says similar to how the Black Panther Party has the ability to take the various teachings of force, it ranges from that of Frantz Fanon, teaches Chairman Mao Zedong, and we do Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, Yishuv Taliesin. We study these different forces objectively, and we can make them applicable to our situation. And I want to stress that too, because that's a unique position to take. A lot of forces say, "Well, I can see how the struggles in China or struggles, you know what I'm saying, in 1800s somewhere, how can it be applicable to your situation?" But again, the politics transcends geographical lines, generational lines, or the gender lines. So we take these, you know what I'm saying, we study very objectively and take and see how we, you know what I'm saying, how we apply it to our present situation. We define ourselves as internationalists at this stage in the game, because the deal is that our position, our politics, we are affected by, you know what I'm saying, by different policies and tactics, that, whether it be the embargo on Cuba, whether it be the U.S. setting up antagonistic situations in Iraq or as we speak, even their plans for Iran or throughout the world. And it's important, again, that we be able to draw the correlation to these attacks, planned attacks, and present attacks this government's laying down, and draw a correlation, you know what I'm saying, on where resistance is happening against U.S. imperialism, and whatever shapes or forms it may be. As we speak right now, we recognize we're in a serious stage of the game, which we define as neocolonialism, and to see this as a global struggle. The U.S. imperialism is the big kahuna of capitalism. In other words, it's the shot caller, and whatever directive they call for, the effects can be seen directly, indirectly, whether it be in Pakistan or in Iraq. You can tie the tentacles back to U.S. imperialism, and our position is that the only logical response here is that we have an international response, because we're dealing with a shot caller that's able to, that when they make a call, it affects everything from gas prices in California to oil prices in Iraq. Must heighten the level of consciousness of the people to be clear that when they're locked up, it's not growing prison industrial complex. These forces are held captive inside the concentration camps. We must heighten up the conscience so people can be very clear that, as opposed to a bond, there are ransoms, as opposed to law that the, or the former U.S. presidents such as Richard Milhouse Nixon referred to as a campaign for law and order. These are, you know, saying these are direct, in other words, or euphemisms for strike and attack. You know what I'm saying? The black and brown communities and other oppressive communities. I mean, it's our job to, I mean, to call these war calls, and that's what they are. You know what I'm saying? And they may put out a law for the different only particular artists to be heard, whether it be in hip hop or other venues. We must, you know, we must call it for the ears. These are, you know, the propaganda bombs or the sending of Pied Pipers in our communities. These are war moves. Everything from, you know, various TV shows. We can go back into the 50s. We must try to correlation to the importance that they, whether it be Lucille Ball shows, this is a strategic message, a propaganda piece to people in Guatemala, that if I dress like Ricky, I told Ricky Ricardo, Lucille Ball, I could quote unquote make it in America. As well as today, would be different artists such as Slave Z or Lil Slave. You know, so these are the strategic move that they put these artists up to send a message to our colonized Catholic counterparts across the world that everything is okay in America. To help report an image that is what Malcolm said, that America, democracy is an hypocrisy. So these are strategic war moves they do by having, you know, saying different artists and. Because I said the state in practice takes a position as, let me draw a correlation with courageous Commandant Che Guevara point that says that the role of the propagandist can be as important as that of the guerrilla. And the state does recognize that. They in theory they would say, no, this is just music, this is just entertainment, this is just a song, this is just a law. This has nothing to do with politics, but the reality is politics is war. And that's what it is. We must call the question. It is. We up front on our position. We say we serve the people. We want to turn the community into the classroom. We say free Aaron Patterson, free Mumia Abu Jamal. Faculty, say what's our call? Free them all. And we say, man, please check out our myspace.com/chairmanfred_2. Support the campaign for our Minister of Defense, Aaron Patterson, as well as all political prisoners, as well as the people in general. You know what I'm saying? And let's draw lines between the victims and victimizer. And, you know, what the Sandinistas say in Latin America, the will of the people is greater than the man's technology. Well, my last words, we all, I like to say always, to the people, free them all, to the pigs, fuck them all.
Can you close my door, please?
Uh-huh. Heads up, eyes open, the fist clenched. You see, the deal is this here. Now, although they did my daddy in one of the most direct graphic type of ways, the reality is that this system snatches or attempts to snatch all of our daddies in some sort of a way. And though the pigs came in blasting and rat-a-tat-tatting through the front and back doors in 1969 at 4:30 a.m. on December the 4th, in which in aftermath, not only left my daddy, 21-year-old Chairman Fred, but 22-year-old Defense Captain Mar Clark as corpses. You see, they set the stage and laid the ground to, in whatever way, lay all of our daddies and all of us in general under the ground.
Whether it be to string them up, lock them up, have them strung out, shoot them up, paying them up for parking them out or straight up point blank, putting them 6 feet under the ground. Now with that being said, this is from the young Chairman Fred to that of the Chairman Fred, as well as to all the daddies, fathers and papas, those who are in prison, as well as those who, in which it was out of their control, just came up missing, as well as the forgotten. Dear Daddy, this is for you, man. Let the record reflect. For your son with nothing but love and revolutionary respect. With you, no commercials for Gatorade juice. No Armani suits for nothing of the likes. For our son, the son to be a freedom fighter like Chairman Fred as opposed to wanting to be like Mike. Although you weren't here, you was always here for me. And I learned lessons from your legend of what a man was supposed to be. When they played with my mail and I couldn't get to no phone, doing those hunger strikes and cold nights, I was never alone. Like you, they say when I talk real fast and I move my hand. We love the people, oh, but we'll get up with that ass. On the streets, I always in the ear when they spoke on Chairman Fred. And in prison, I paid attention to what the old timer said. When they spoke on you, I seen that gleam in their eye. With just a mere mention of your name, I seen demoralized get high. No narcotics needed, in fact, high the people that you always said. As a kid, I came up looking forward to sideburns, fur hats, and a nappy head. From colleges to the communities, from the parlors to pool rooms, from the real Rainbow Coalition to a principal gang troops. In this struggle, you said you would pay the ultimate price. You anticipated prison and dedicated your life. Whenever the state signed your name, mama told me the truth. And that young lady, your great-grandbaby, she sends you a love. For she's a descendant of a diehard and a blessing from above. Now, quiet minds want to know, how does it feel to be sighted by you? Being loved by the people and sweated by the you-know-who. If I could choose to do it all over again, I would choose to be your son. And by the way, that lady that you chose, that daddy, that was the one.
Called the Chairman Free on Father's Day, semicolon, Dear Daddy.
Now, y'all youngsters out there with us, we'll catch y'all in the park, we cut the park, the club. And this is really going to contrast with all, again, the imagery that places like, you know, Chirac and other, you know, other communities, there's a lot of propaganda spread about our people.
As I said before, and I say it again, though the state, this system, they took out my daddy in a graphic type of way, point blank, you know, so we've seen, you know, so police have 99 rounds in the house. This system attempts or does take all our fathers from us one way or another by shooting them down, stringing them out, locking them up, you name it.
We want to see some energy, so it's rough out here. We rougher, the people rougher, you know, I'm saying rougher in the way that we gonna survive, you know, so we got community too, this is just a struggle. We struggle as every day to battle for our manhood, our womanhood, our childhood, basically our humanity.
And this is a piece that we want to get, you know, brothers from all walks of life to be in this footage, you know. So we're going to be coming to a hood near you. So again. So inbox us, you know, tag us on a question on Facebook where we're going to be at. So we're going to shoot some footage here on Father's Day. So we're going to give a screen our brothers, you know what I'm saying? Father's Day, they're going to be in the video. So show that, that we damaged, but we not destroyed. Again, we damaged, but we not destroyed. You know what I'm saying? And there are some images out there. And there's brothers out there that's, you know what I'm saying, that's taking in, you know what I'm saying, these youngsters. That's not even necessarily biological fathers to these youngsters. But this is a video, you know, we're going to call all the brothers, make sure y'all be on deck for this day. We're going to be going through the hoods, you know what I'm saying, just the basic everyday brothers, the people, you know what I'm saying, to contend against this image that we've been given. Heads up, eyes on the fist clinch, y'all, again, right on.
You know what, buddy? Leave the computer alone. It's not working right. I gotta fix it. So I gotta leave it there. Charles, leave it alone. Yeah, you can't mess with it right now because I gotta do something with it. Okay? Don't touch the button. Good job. You ready to go night night, buddy? Come on, let's go night night. Okay.
We understand that Mickey White, Dennis Morrell, and Nathaniel Jr. and Huey P. Newton, people like Bobby Seale and people like Bobby Hutton and people like Elvis Cleaver, all these people either dead, either in exile or running, or they're even in jail. And a lot of people understanding this, we lose new faith in the Vanguard, not understanding what we're talking about. A lot of people run up to you in a minute and say, why is all these people being taken? Why haven't you shot it out? Why haven't you killed some pigs? Well, what do you say? That if you kill a few, you get a little satisfaction. But you kill some more, and you get some more satisfaction. But when you can kill them all, you get complete satisfaction. That's why we have a move, because we have to organize the people. We have to educate the people. We have to arm the people. And we have to teach them the revolutionary political power. And when the people understand all that, won't be killing no few, getting no little satisfaction. Won't be killing no more and getting some more satisfaction. It'll be killing them all and getting complete satisfaction. So what should we do to be the Vanguard? What is it right to do? Is it right for the leadership of the struggle to go faster than the followers of that struggle can go? No. We're not going to be dealing in no commandism, nor will we be dealing in tailism. We say that just as fast as the people can possibly go, that's just as fast as we can take it. And while we take it, we're going to be down there amidst the people in the valley. So that in the valley, we know that we can learn and understand their lifestyle. We understand the people out here and all this booze and bullshit out here. You can make a city yourself on the mountaintop. You matter considering yourself on the mountaintop. I may even someday consider myself on the mountaintop. May have had already. But I know that even though in the valley, there are people like Dennis, and there are people like Nate, and there are people like Mickey White, and people like Huey P. Newton, and people like Bobby Seale, and even in the valley, below the valley, and people like Bobby Hutton, people like Elvis Cleaver. We know that these are dangerous times. We know that when you go down to the valley, you've got to make a commitment. A lot of us think the revolution is bullshit, but it's not. A lot of us think that when you get involved in a revolution, you can talk your way out of things, but that's not true. If you think I'm lying, ask Bobby Hutton. Ask Elvis Cleaver, Huey P. Newton, and Mickey White, and Dennis and Nate. Ask these people, it's not a game. And if you're going to involve yourself in a revolutionary struggle, then you've got to be serious. You've got to know what you're doing. You've got to already have practiced some type of theory. That's why we ask the people to follow the leadership of the Vanguard Party. Because we're always theorizing, we're always practicing, we're always making mistakes. But we're always convicted, and we're always getting better, and we're always leading, and we're always saying every day that no matter what anybody else says, that I am a revolutionary. And you've got to be able to come to grips with that fact, that some of you are not revolutionaries. That the difference between the people and the Vanguard is very important. You've got to understand that as soon as you follow the Vanguard, you've got to understand that you're the people. And the people follow the Vanguard. And you've got to understand that the Black Panther Party is the Vanguard. And if you're going to be about being the people, you're going to be about understanding that the Vanguard leads the people in the social revolution. After the social revolution, the Vanguard Party threw out its educational program, and that educational program is so overwhelming that it has educated the people to the point where they can run things themselves. That's what you call educating the people, arming the people, organizing the people, and people being revolutionary political power. That means people power. That means the people's revolution. And if you're not about being involved in the people's revolution, then you've got to do something. If you want it, you've got to support a people's revolution. And I claim today that no matter what this thing says, and I think Pierre would admit it, that even if all those criticisms are valid, and they could print 8 articles like that, 8 magazines, they could print 80 or 800 or 8 million, that they can print all the articles they want to, but I know something that they couldn't print 1 article on. If you ask them to write down a list of all the other groups in this country that could be considered a further stage of advancement, at a further stage of advancement, as the Vanguard Party, then this would not even entail one man. Because no matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody does, they haven't did it yet. The Vanguard Party, the Black Panther Party, is the funniest, the general Vanguard Party in the world today for all kinds of people, and that's the truth. You can say some things are wrong about it, but I'm telling you, it's the best deal. You might be able to put some on paper, goddammit, that flies faster than a plane. But I say, until it is proven, until you put that money in practice, you be a fool trying to fly on paper. You better get on the goddamn plane, because it's already been proven. And I'm saying that you better get on the Black Panther Party. If you can't get on, goddammit, you better get behind. If you can't get behind, goddammit, you better get behind somebody else behind so you at least be able to follow indirectly. We're not asking you to go out and ask no pig to leave us alone. None of the pigs with us are known people right out of us, we know we're doing something. Because a lot of people, a lot of groups walk around, you couldn't write articles about it. I know some revolutionary groups, some of these niggas running around, some of these same PLs, talking about them and talking bullshit about them, they couldn't even find them to criticize. They were so far underground, what were they doing? Organizing groundhogs, educating groundhogs, arming groundhogs, and teaching groundhogs revolutionary political power. I stand to be the first group to come and blow it down, goddammit, when a people can follow you and say, motherfucker, I really need you. You can see me. If I make a mistake, motherfucker, it's better than not even being at all, because when I make that mistake, I made it for the people. I correct it for the people.
All right, buddy.
In other words, then, the issue moves beyond David Duke to the fact that we have a large number of whites who have certain attitudes, and those whites are still alive and well, and those attitudes are still there whether David Duke lives or dies tomorrow. So the issue is not Duke. The issue is a group of white folk, and a sizable group of white folk, who has specific types of attitudes who are still there and who still then pose a threat to black freedom. In fact, Duke alone poses no threat to black folk. He's one person. You get the same kind of game that goes on with Hitler. We get the white media that projects the mad Hitler. Hitler who his great oratory hypnotizes the German people. That's nonsense. Hitler did not build the concentration camps alone. Hitler did not go into Poland by himself. It took a whole German nation to cooperate with Hitler. If the German nation did not accept Hitler and support Hitler, then Hitler could not have had any influence or effect on history whatsoever. But we have a media, you see, that makes you perceive Hitler as the bad guy. It was the German people in relationship to Hitler that created the problem. And in the end, then it won't be individuals only, it will be groups of people against other groups of people. But if you have this tendency then to get caught up in individuals, you're going to miss the group phenomena. And you will miss often the organization of whole armies and whole groups of people against you. And you will be made to think simply because you vote down one individual, you have solved your problem. You could be no more wrong. You cannot be more wrong. What am I saying here then? We not only must read newspapers, but we must continue to educate ourselves in how to read them.
Hey, don't do that.
From misleading and from being misled, from betraying and being betrayed into ignorance by others. This is a battle report to the chairman. Here's how I set it off. All the sisters doing last day's time behind enemy lines, saved overtime for me. Kids doing mad bids, concentrating in these camps. Hard timers, the real frontliners, stressed without rest against a government who makes slaves while protesting smoothly the end of slavery. Indeed, the devil's greatest trick is to make you think he don't exist. Death row, what a brother know. I'm that real lethal injection. Gonna treat this lame like a viral infection. Nah, I mean, Jamil Alameen. I'm the one who they least expected. What I'll call, free them all. But by hostile demand. No, you the man. No shout out, no applause. I don't need it, y'all. Lead story on the international news. See, Mom Jamil still taking lames to school. I'm the sun that rose in the west. I told the best to tell the rest. I'm the answer and the test. Ain't trying to give you nothing to dance to. Trying to give you something that'll give you a chance, dude. Get you out of that trance, fool. So, you're so American. They black by popular demand. But they take black back if it ain't popular with the man.
Black people fit into the political spectrum right now, or should they at all?
Well, politics is defined by the geographical and influential spheres of this country. It's irrelevant to black people, and it's irrelevant to the masses of people. The vote has been used as a tool of oppression against black people. I mean, Camus raises a very good point when he says, what better way to enslave a man than give him the vote and call him free? It does not profit black people or poor people anything to have the vote and not be able to select the candidates who they want to choose. Now, how can you choose between Lyndon Johnson, Nixon, Agnew, Wallace, and Humphrey? There is no choice. Evil is evil. There's nothing in between that.
There was some lesser candidates. Dick Gregory was running for office. Eldridge Cleaver.
I think the vote can only be used as a tool of organization. We can only use the vote to organize our people. Now, to really believe that we can put someone in office and that these people would be responsive to our needs, it's naive, politically naive. Because even if one of the black candidates who ran for office was to take the office of president, then black people must be prepared to fight against that person.
Why?
Because, you see, the system mandates the action of the individual. The individual does not determine how this country will function. This country works off the military-industrial complex, which means that it's profitable to wage war. And unless you, you know, devise another plan, another scheme to sustain, to boost this economy, then it's going to be necessary to wage war, whether, you know, a black individual is in office or a white individual is in office. Well, so we're talking about a complete a change in system.
If Mr. Cleaver did win the election, don't you think that he could have conducted the presidency in a unique manner that may not be, you know, compromising to the system you speak of?
No, because, you, as I said, the system dictates the response of individuals. The individuals do not influence politically, economically, or socially.
I see.
The attitudes or functioning of the system.
Well, but politics as we know it here in this country is not the answer. What is?
I think there has to be a reevaluation of politics. Now, there are definitions of politics that are relevant to black people. Chairman Mao says that politics is war without bloodshed. And war is an extension of politics. I think black people have to begin to address themselves to the politics of revolution. Because we are caught up in revolutionary struggle, whether we want to believe it or whether we want to be or not. So I think, you know, black people have to begin to think in a revolutionary fashion and create and construct a politically revolutionary platform.
Two centuries ago, when the United States was a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the conditions prevailed in the nation and the assumptions on which its foundations were built were such that they ensured that the United States would come to its maturity under circumstances, which mean that for a substantial proportion of citizens, life is nothing more than a living debt. Liberty is nothing more than a prison of poverty. And the only happiness we enjoy is laughing to keep from crying. We find evidence for majority freedom and minority oppression in the fact that even while the early settlers were proclaiming their freedom, they were deliberately and systematically depriving Africans of their freedom. These basic contradictions were further aggravated by acts which implicitly admitted that the majority was wrong, but unwilling to do right. Thus, when the Declaration of Independence was drafted, the Founding Fathers struck all mentions of the slave trade. Thus, when the United States Constitution was drafted, the Founding Fathers considered the slaves as equivalent to three-fifths of a man. Thus, when the slaves were emancipated, the descendants of the Founding Fathers compromised that freedom to gain further territory. These compromises were so basic to the thinking of the forebears that legal attempts to correct the contradiction through constitutional amendments and civil rights laws have produced no change in our conditions, and we are still a people without equal protection and due process of the law. We recognize then that the oppressive acts of the United States government, when contrasted with the testaments of freedom, carries forward a basic contradiction found in all the legal documents upon which this government is based. Generation after generation of the majority group have been born, they have worked, and they have seen the fruits of their labor in the life, liberty, and happiness of their children and grandchildren. Generation after generation of black people in America have been born, they have worked, and they have seen the fruits of their labors in the life, liberty, and happiness of the children and grandchildren of the oppressor. While their own descendants wallow in the mire of poverty and deprivation, holding only to the hope of change in the future. The hope has sustained us for many years and has led us to suffer the administration of a corrupt government. At the dawn of the 20th century, this hope led us to formulate a civil rights movement and the belief that the government would eventually fulfill its promise to black people. We did not recognize, however, that any attempts to complete the promise of the 18th century revolution in the framework of a 20th century government, economy, and society was doomed to failure. The descendants of that small company of original settlers of this land are not among the common people of today. They have become a small ruling class in control of a worldwide economic system. The Constitution set up by their ancestors to serve the people no longer serves the people, for the people have changed. The people of the 18th century have become the ruling circle of the 20th century, and the people of the 20th century are the descendants of the slaves and the dispossessed of the 18th century. The Constitution set up to serve the people of the 18th century now serves the ruling circle of the 20th century. And the people of today stand wanting for a foundation for their own life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. The civil rights movement has not produced this foundation, and it cannot produce this foundation because of the nature of the United States society and economy. The vision of the civil rights movement is to achieve goals which have been altered by 200 years of change. Thus, the civil rights movement and similar movements have produced no foundation for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They have produced humiliating programs of welfare and unemployment compensation, programs with sufficient form to deceive the people, but with insufficient substance to change the fundamental distribution of power and resources in this country. Moreover, while the movements attempt to get minorities into the system, we note that the government continues its pattern of practice which contradicts its democratic rhetoric. We recognize now that we see history repeating itself, but on an international as well as a national scale. The relentless drive for profit led this nation to colonize, oppress, and exploit its minorities. This profit drive took this nation from democratic capitalism and underdevelopment to bureaucratic capitalism and overdevelopment. Now we see that this small ruling circle continues its profit drive by oppressing and exploiting the people of the world. Throughout the world, the proletariat is crushed so that the profits of the American industry can continue to flow. Throughout the world, the freedom struggle of oppressed people are opposed by this government because they are a threat to the bureaucratic capitalism of the United States of America. We gather here to let it be known at home and abroad that a nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as in its maturity become an imperialistic power dedicated to death, oppression, and the pursuit of profits. We will not be deceived by so many of our fellow men. We will not be blinded by small changes in form which lack any change in substance of the imperialist expansion. Our suffering has been too long. Our sacrifices have been too great. And our human dignity is too strong for us to be prudent any longer. The Black Panther Party calls for freedom and power to determine our destiny. The Black Panther Party calls for full employment for all our people. The Black Panther Party calls for an end to the capitalistic exploitation of our community. The Black Panther Party calls for decent housing for all people. The Black Panther Party calls for an educational system that will tell us the true facts about this decadent society. The Black Panther Party calls for exemption from the military service. The Black Panther Party calls for an end to police brutality. The Black Panther Party calls for freedom for all political prisoners and prisoners of war. The Black Panther Party calls for trials by members of our peer when we're brought to the court and justice. The Black Panther Party calls for a United Nations plebiscite to determine the will of black people as to their national destiny. Black people and oppressed people in general have lost faith in leaders of America, in the government of America, and the very structure of the American government, that is the Constitution, its legal foundation. This loss of faith is based upon the overwhelming evidence that this government will not live according to the Constitution because the Constitution is not designed for its people. For this reason, we assemble a constitutional convention to consider rational and positive alternatives. Alternatives which will place the emphasis on the common man. Alternatives which will bring about a new economic system in which the rewards as well as the work will be equally shared by all people. A socialist framework. Alternatives which will guarantee that within the socialist framework, all groups will be adequately represented in decision making and administration which affect their lives. Alternatives which would guarantee that all men will obtain their full manhood rights, that they will be able to live, be free, and seek out those goals which would give them respect and dignity, while permitting the same privileges for every other man, regardless of his condition or status. The sacredness of man and of the human spirit requires that human dignity and integrity ought to always be respected by every other man. We will sell for nothing less, or at this point in history, anything less is but a living death. It is a fact that we will get change. We will transform the society. It is up to the oppressor to decide whether this will be a peaceful thing or... whatever means that is effective, regardless of the consequence, because it is our conclusion and our principle that a slave who dies a natural death will not balance two dead flies on the scales of eternity. We will have our manhood, even if we have to level the face of the earth. And I get together. So I would like to say that we are one tonight. Let us be one in the future. Power to all of the people.
Thank you.